Good evening. Welcome back to Truth Lies Shenanigans, the live show, season 2, episode 6. I go by the name Neo Nix. It's January 20th, 2021, a glorious day as we say goodbye to the Trump era and the worst president in American history, welcoming Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as president and vice president of the United States. Beautiful day. All right, for today's show, of course, we'll be talking about the inauguration events today. And also for Hot Topics, we'll be talking about the final Trump pardons, including Steve Bannon, Lil Wayne, and Kodak Black. Rob B tells us about vacationing Canadians, getting U.S. COVID vaccines. Johnny Storm talks about Christian America and the Trump era. Lizzie's asking, what's the situation with old dudes sexting pics of their genitalia? So it should be... So it should be a great show ahead. Now, before we get into it, let me introduce you to our wonderful hosts, our professor, writer, editor, journalist, and all-around sports guru out of Washington, D.C., where Kamala and Biden were both sworn in, Liz E. Enders.
What's up, everyone? Happy hump day! I got my pearls on, y'all. I listened to like Neo said, it's a glorious day in Washington, D.C., and from what I could tell by observing the inauguration as much as I could earlier and by watching the news, there were no real major incidents in the city. So I'm proud of Washingtonians. I'm proud of all of those on the other side who are still a little bit disgruntled that Trump lost and was shipped, kicked out of town. We had a glorious day here. It was sunny, great weather, and a great new administration.
I know you live a few blocks away, so did you see Biden and Kamala from your window?
Did not see it. I have the glorious view of the Capitol every day, but no, I did not see any of the activities.
All right. And our very own rock star with the amazing rock band Fallen Machine coming to you from Sudbury, Ontario, Robbie Rock.
What's up? Happy Wednesday, everybody. And to piggyback off of what Liz was saying, so not only did I not hear any reports from the nation's capital, I didn't hear anything happening across the great nation during this inauguration day. People are disgruntled, but not acting upon it.
So did you see Biden and Kamala from your Canadian window?
No, but I think I saw Drake.
You saw Drake? All right. And streaming from Atlanta, Georgia, our model, actor, college student, Gianni Storm, Hazel Valentine, a.k.a.
No, Hazel Valentine. Hey, everybody. Today was really, it was really slow day, but it was a very nice day. It was really warm here in Atlanta.
Oh.
But also a lot of things that I had planned were actually canceled because they were in fear of like people's safety, so they had canceled things in advance.
For COVID,
so I got to enjoy some free
COVID or the inauguration with safety. Are we talking like riots? Or
the inauguration, like they were thinking something was going to happen. I don't know why in Atlanta, but
state capital. They were talking about attacking state capitals. You know how they do.
Yeah.
So you're killing it with those TikToks lately. You know, some funny stuff for all those trolls you keep getting.
I know the trolls are, as of lately, they have been getting on my nerve, but we're going to still keep, I have to still express myself.
Absolutely. All right. Let's get into our top story. Yes, it's official. The era of Agent Orange is in our rearview mirrors. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris have officially taken over the United States. So my co-hosts, what are you feeling right now after watching the inauguration earlier today? Well, for those of you that watch, let's start with Gianni Storm. What are you feeling?
I actually didn't get to watch a lot of it. I've only saw a few of the short clips and pictures in the news as I went through the day. But from what I saw, it looked like a royal grand event. Like beautiful. It's definitely like becoming of what we're about to get into, what we're about to begin here in the state. I'm really excited. It looked beautiful.
Yeah. Robbie Rock, your thoughts?
Cautious optimism. your neighbors are happy that this era, the last 4 years are finally over, that era is over. It was nice to hear a presidential speech that sounded presidential.
Yeah.
That was refreshing.
It was new.
Yeah. So really from Canada's side, of cautious optimism. I think there's going to be a lot of change coming based on what I heard in the inauguration speeches. And I think it's going to be a wake-up call for a lot of people who've been living under Trump's view of things, his rose-colored glasses. So, yeah. Right. Looking forward to what Joe and Kamala are going to do.
All right. Lizzie Andrews, your thought.
I just appreciated the fact I didn't get to watch all of it because prepping for school to start this week, my first day of classes is on Friday, so I was in training sessions all day. But the little bit that I did get to see, I appreciated the tone that was set with this new administration, an effort to, you know, reinstate some decency to the office of the presidency, to remove a lot of the narcissism, a lot of the accusatory and inflammatory language, and remove the idea that we are a separate nation. You heard Joe Biden talk a lot or use the word unity a lot throughout the day, whether it was his speech on the Capitol grounds or whether it was his discourse afterwards. He's really concerned about where we are as a country. And so I appreciated that he was talking to the American people versus just standing there and talking about himself.
Himself.
So, yes.
What he's done. Now, I've got some comments online. I've got, let's see, from Jacqueline Robson. Woohoo, evening all. Sherry Blaine Priest says, may today be the beginning of a new start. Looking forward to this evening's show. Kevin Thaxton and the poet has spoken, saying, what's up? And then we're looking at Jacqueline Robson said, the few demonstrations across the country only had a handful of attendees. Yep, I heard that nothing really happened. And Kevin Thaxton said, how about Lady Gaga? And that.
How about?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I hear a lot of people saying that Lady Gaga was pretty awesome. I thought it was not the best I've heard, but it was pretty good.
Can you say that again? You thought what about Gaga?
I thought Lady Gaga wasn't the best I've heard the Star Spangled Banner sung.
But what J-Lo put out there, that was the best that you
I didn't say J-Lo can sing. I know we had this discussion while we were streaming it earlier.
Ever since she stepped,
I was just happy to see J-Lo. That's all.
Make another appearance.
So my first thought was, you know, and I like to pose this question to you guys as a follow-up, but I didn't have the chills and thrills I had with Obama. But it was more of a feeling of relief. And I think that was the feeling I was really feeling, just like, you know, just like I can kind of breathe a little bit. So my question to you guys, are you more excited to see Trump leave or Biden come in? I'll start with Lizzie. I'll start back with Lizzie.
I think they kind of go hand in hand because Biden is coming in because Trump is leaving.
Yes, I mean, logically, yes, of course. I'm just curious.
You know, Biden was not my first choice for the Democratic nomination. However, once everything, you know, all of the other candidates kind of, you know, stepped aside, this is what we were left with. And I have been, once he toned down a lot of his scatterbrain, inflammatory speech from the summer, and he started to recognize that he needed to bring us back together as a country. Not necessarily, like, obviously we haven't always been kumbaya, but we at least were at a point where we could coexist and tolerate one another. Yeah. Like, I don't need everybody in the country to like Black people. I don't need everybody in the country to like me. However, you have to be respectful. You have
we
to
like
respectful.
You, Lizzie. We like
you. And listen, I got a lot of haters out there. Trust me. I love them. I hate them right back. However, we need to come to a point where we can tolerate and coexist. Otherwise, we are going to be on the verge of another coup. We're going to be fighting one another every single day. So I was inspired by the possibility that we can overcome a lot of the nonsense and the horrible wounds that we've all been given over the past 4 years, and that we can heal a little bit. And that doesn't mean, like, you know, everything's going to be perfect. Obviously it's not, but I don't think it's going to be worse than what we just left.
I love what Jacqueline Robinson just wrote. And she says, sometimes we get the candidate we need instead of the one we want in the moment. And this, you're right. And this is what we needed. So Gianni Storm, what are your thoughts? Are you feeling more happy that Trump is gone or more happy that Biden is here?
I would probably go more with the fact that Biden is here, only because I'd like to see what is done from this. I'm just curious to see what happens, what comes from this president. So I would say more Biden to come in. I'm more excited about.
So you're in the more hopeful spirit.
Yes.
Gotcha. Rod, what about you?
I would say that I'm relieved to see Trump go, but I'm happy to see and Biden come in. It's like Johnny. It's hope. It's that cautious optimism, because this is, after all, U.S. politics, and this wasn't a majority landslide by any stretch of the imagination. Still pretty close out there. So I'm hoping that they can get through the next 4 years without too much disruption and heal, take care of the things that really need to be taken care of.
I think that's the most important thing to me, is the healing part. Is I just feel like, you know, and that's, and I guess I, like Lizzie was alluding to, I mean, it's both. I mean, I feel the relief that he's gone. I mean, it's like a huge, wonderful feeling. And that is probably the more overwhelming feeling right now for me. But there is a lot of hope about, you know, things can get better. Because, you know, when you're at your worst, when you're like in the desert, you know, and you're in the desert for a while, and you get a little bit of water, you happy. You know, it may not be a lot of water, but it's something, you know. Or you get a nice meal, and that's the best meal you've ever had. So, you know, that's how I'm feeling right now. That's how I'm feeling.
It's like Eddie Murphy. Was that a saltine?
Right. Dude, like anything.
I was joking with Mike Winter earlier today, and I said, you know, this feels like an Amistad moment. Remember the movie Amistad?
I do.
And when he just screamed, give us free.
Now he's probably like, Amma who?
That's what I was like, free. Give us free. Free us from these Trump shackles. My goodness.
Yeah.
Ooh, look at Michelle and Barack. They were fire.
Yeah, that outfit. I think Kevin Thaxton was on our feed saying she looked like Carmen Sandiego.
Just needs a big red hat.
Speaking of facts, and he says, Lizzie, don't be jealous. Don't be jealous of J-Lo. Don't be jealous.
Sherry
Lane Priest says, I watched the entire inauguration and appreciated the tone and the change in language. And Jacqueline Robinson also says, some of us are still struggling with PTSD from the last 4 years.
Yeah,
Jeanette Brown's
a time to heal.
It will take some time. Jeanette Brown said, y'all don't be surprised if some grief comes up this week. Sometimes it takes feeling of some relief to unleash all the pent up grief that we've been carrying. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Great comment. All right. Any last thoughts on the inauguration, guys?
One quote that I heard today from CNN. CNN was clowning, if you guys watched the CNN feed this morning throughout the day as they were covering the inauguration, they were clowning Trump at every opportunity.
As they should.
One of the anchors was talking about his send-off at Andrews Air Force Base this morning. And, you know, Trump likes to hype up everything. And so she said, I don't even know. I think people are finally starting to get sick of him. He hyped up this send-off. He expected thousands upon thousands. And she said, you know, I've seen more people in line at the Apple store than I saw out there for Trump. Warning. And I'm like, she's right. It was a very scant crowd. Nothing of the bigly numbers
bigly
that he was trying to prepare us for.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be a sort of a counter speech or something like that to the inauguration that he was trying to do.
Yeah.
Counter event.
If you look at, like, by all of Biden's Biden's family when they were together throughout the day, especially when they were in a public setting, or you look at Kamala's family and friends, all of them had on masks.
Yep.
If you go back and look at the footage from the send-off today with the Trump family, only the little kids had on masks. I think two little kids had on masks, and that was it. Everyone else standing out there just giving COVID to one another once again. So you see where the shift is. The shift is, you know, where there's hubris on one side in that we could do whatever we want. We don't have to adhere to any type of safety protocols or rules. And then you have the other side that is like, we are going to set the example. This is how it's going to be. To the point where, you know, Biden got in and he, you know, started signing executive orders as soon as he got in, which
as they usually do. Everyone does that.
One of Biden's orders was he is trying to implement that in all federal buildings, wearing a mask is a must.
Awesome.
Is a must. So that just goes to show you the shift.
I mean, the simple things. I mean, we're looking at, so I wanted to point out, so I heard that Senator Ben Sasse, from Republican from Nebraska, he talked about Trump and how he was reacting the day of the riot. And he said, Donald Trump was delighted, when rioters stormed the U.S. Capitol, and he was surprised others didn't share his perspective. And he said, as it was unfolding on television, Donald Trump was walking around the White House completely confused about why other people on his team weren't excited. I mean, this is the type of person we are getting rid of. I mean, why would a president be excited about people storming his Capitol building? Ridiculous.
I mean,
and then you talk about the COVID, you're talking about 400,000 COVID deaths. You know, we're supposed to be the best in the world in terms of healthcare, and yet we were the worst to handle this pandemic in all countries worldwide. So, I mean, I am so happy to see him gone. Oh, and Leroy Clay says, give us free.
Right? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And then Jeanette Brown says, I'm surprised Trump hasn't been boasting about how much bigger his inauguration crowds were than Biden's. I mean, considering Biden did not have an inauguration crowd on purpose.
Yeah. So who thinks he's going to start a fake account on Twitter so he could start tweeting out all of his distaste and displeasure with the new
a fake account? He'll probably use another handle. Yeah, you're right. I definitely see that happening. That's so funny.
Someone went trolling last week. A real Donald Barron, and it was the entire Trump family, but with a bad mustache on. So it was wonderful.
Oh, I didn't see my boy Barron out there this morning. All of the other Trumpsters were there, but Barron, from what I could tell and observe, was MIA. So maybe he ran away from home, finally.
Finally. All right, so that's it for our breaking news. Our next topic, we have hot topic.
Truth.
Yes, we do.
Shenanigans.
I want to start with Gianni for hot topic today. So, Gianni, you're talking about the evangelicals. Evangelicals,
yes.
And Trump. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. So this is a truth. And it is about, well, I'm going to just kind of freestyle because all my notes disappeared from my laptop died. So,
oh, your laptop's not. Do your best.
So in an article in the LA Times, it spoke about the dissension of the white evangelical or Christian fundamentalists in America. Throughout the entire Trump presidency, they were seen to support Trump. For example, the Proud Boys. The Proud Boys putting up crosses at protests. This was more recent. I think this was at Michigan State or Michigan Capitol. It was at the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
There. So just showing a lot of symbolism and not necessarily tying it to what real Christianity is or supposed to be, which is what the symbol of Jesus is and being compassionate and loving for people of all different and the oppressed people especially. My question to sum it up is, what do you guys believe that white evangelical fundamentalists are a threat to our US government or the US, the new presidency that we have now?
Let's start with Robbie Rock on this
one. Well, they're clearly an entrenched entity in US in the US fabric. To me, it's just one of those things where the separation of church and state is just, it's required to ensure that all people are valued equally and respected equally. And my advice to those who are adhering to these fundamentalist ideas, if you want a Christian America, if you do vote in a theocratic government and it happens to change over time, or if it's not your brand of Christianity, you won't be upheld. You're going to be feeling more oppressed than you ever would. So just, it really is a shame. And to me, it's just the thought of being tried in a court of law that upholds spiritual religious values is terrifying, because I don't have any religious beliefs. In fact, I'm worse than that. I'm an apostate. I've turned my back on my religious beliefs. So it's, be careful what you wish for, but I hope that they are losing ground, but I think that the white supremacists were hiding behind the spiritual imagery, and they've been doing that mm-hmm. for decades, Century. Hundreds of years.
Century.
Yeah.
One of the things, like Rob, we brought up the separation between church and state, but as we've come to notice or realize that a lot of fundamentalists, a lot of Christian evangelical extremists, they don't necessarily believe in the separation of church and state. To them, it's just one big old party, if you will. And so in their minds, they are very religious. And as a result, they are the chosen ones. And they are very conservative, far right wing Republicans. And so they, to them, both sides go hand in hand. Do I think that they've lost a little bit of their steam? Yeah, because the guy that was their most vocal advocate has now been displaced. He's now been kicked out. However, a lot of these sentiments, this hatred was there long, was here in this country long before Donald J. Trump. What he did was he gave people permission to feel all of this hatred, permission to feel like they were superior to another race, to another gender, if you will. And I mean, again, like we talked about in the last segment, I think it's going to take some time to heal all of that. Like, truth be told, I have people who I have been going back and forth with over the past 4 years, some of them Christians, some of them not Christians, a lot of them very conservative, a lot of them Trump supporters. We will never be the same. We will never be the same. I'm not saying that I have completely cut them off, but like Maya Angelou says, when people show you who they are the first time, believe them. So now your sheet is gone. I see you for who you are. And so I think some of the amped up antics may tone down a little bit, but I don't think that we have gotten over this dark cloud. Especially since a lot of these people thought that they had a religious right to feel this way. A total misinterpretation of the Bible, of the commandments, all of that. And like Rob, like, you know, I am not a religious person. I am atheist. I do not believe, but I respect other people's faith. And these folks misinterpreted everything that the Bible teaches, that what we were taught growing up. And I grew up in the church, so I know the Bible. I just don't agree with it. But these people took it to a whole new level. So it's going to take a lot to bring them down off of that superior high horse.
Yeah, part of the problem is that the Bible has been used throughout centuries, as Robbie was alluding to, that it was used as a tool for these type of, for power, a tool for power and control. And, you know, from slavery to the Middle Ages to you name it. You know, it's been forever that religion and the Bible were used in this manner. And it hasn't changed to today. And so we still have people who are using religion and Christianity and even Muslims. I mean, we have fundamentalist Muslims, we have fundamentalist Christians, we have Protestants. You name it, it runs the gambit. Religion has throughout history been used to enslave and demean and control people. So, does that mean that the people that have their faith are wrong? No, absolutely not. I mean, your faith is your faith, and it's just a shame that it's been warped in such a way by so many evil people. Now, to the question about whether or not, they have power anymore, yeah. I their bullhorn is gone, So yeah. I've been saying it pretty much every show. They're going to crawl back into the shadows where they came from. They got emboldened to come out and say, hey, it's like when when you turn the lights off and roaches come out, and so, Trump turned the light off a little while and the roaches started to come out. But, now we flip the light back on, the roaches are going to flee and hide where they came from. That doesn't mean they're going to die and go away, but they're not going to be as prevalent. They're not going to be as bold to just openly, there's some that are just going to do what they do. I mean, I'm not saying that this is not 100%, but we're not talking, there's a small subset of people that felt more emboldened than they were before.
Do you believe that there is a different threat besides Trump not being the president anymore? For example, I found that maybe millennials, just this new kind of millennials and same-sex marriage and all of that kind of ideals that are out there and are more accepted. I feel like that kind of prompts them. Well, that's a bad use of words, but that kind of helps them die out more because there's not a lot of people with the same thoughts, especially.
I think there's always people in opposite spectrums. I think you're going to always have people that hate other people for whatever they do, whatever they look like, whatever they say. And there's going to be other people on the other side that, feel the way they feel. And so there's always going to be that spectrum. It's just a matter of the people in the middle,
But we also, too, need to get rid of this idea that a lot of these sentiments die out. Just because something is laying dormant underneath the surface doesn't mean that it's dead, doesn't mean that it's gone. It's just cooking. It's just marinating, getting ready to come out the way it did over the past 4 years. And who's to say that someone isn't going to come out and replace Trump? He still has a platform. That's what social media is for. That's what, he could start his own network if he so chooses to do so. And so I think that hopefully cooler heads will prevail and everyone will go to their corner and take a deep breath. But we also have to be aware and cognizant of the fact about all of these people, especially within law enforcement, especially within the military, especially within the government, who felt emboldened to come out.
There's a lot of people in the government that we need to deal with.
So it's something that we need to be aware of, cognizant of as we move forward in this healing process.
Well, Mike Winter says, the article that I read was about the fact that some of the evangelicals were finally addressing their cognitive dissonance and hypocrisy with respect to supporting Trump and his misogyny and racism. Kevin Thaxton says, the U.S. is not a Christian nation. The founding fathers, Masons specifically, didn't have a national religion. There is freedom of religion for a reason. A theocracy is equal to Sharia law.
There's freedom of religion in theory. That's not necessarily the reality. You really aren't that free to be a Muslim in this country, especially under the Trump regime, where he was trying to eradicate all Muslims in this country. Didn't even want them to come and live here, to visit here. So yeah, in theory, there's freedom of religion here, but it's not always the case in practice.
Yeah. Jeanette Brown says, unfortunately, narcissism snakes through fundamental religious communities and some less fundamental ones. And narcissism was there in those rigid belief systems well before Trump. And I like this comment from Mike Winter. Picking and choosing parts of the Bible and parts of the Constitution has been a hallmark of Falwell, which was the person who brought this group to the Republican Party in the early 80s, talking about the evangelicals. That was post-Vietnam.
If you think about religion, remember back when Trump started the birtherism movement back in 2007, 2008, against Barack Obama, saying that he wasn't really an American, he wasn't really born here. Another fear tactic that he used with the right was that he was Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
He kept telling people that he was Muslim, that he wasn't Christian. Not only is he not from the United States, he's from Africa, and he's Muslim.
And they sure played up Hussein and then his name.
Exactly. And so the Tea Party, the right-wing conservatives, all of those people took that and ran with it as a reason why he shouldn't be trusted. So yeah, the freedom of religion thing here is on a small scale, if you ask me.
All right. And then I got some props from Sherry Blaine Priest. She says, Neil Nix, good comments on faith. Agree 100%. All right. Let's get on to the next hot topic.
Truth, lies, shenanigans.
All right. So since we're still talking about Trump, I wanted to talk about these last minute Trump. Oh, this is, by the way, this is shenanigans. I'm going to call it shenanigans. I want to talk about these last minute Trump pardons. In the late waning hours last night of his presidency, Donald Trump delivered his official pardons and commutations. Guess who was on there? Definitely a bunch of rich dudes that were caught stealing, most notably Trump's top confidant, Steve Bannon, who was charged with swindling Trump supporters for private funds to try to build Trump's border wall. And of course, another friend, Elliot Brody, who admitted to accepting money to lobby Trump for China and Malaysia interests. But then there were rappers Lil Wayne and Kodak Black, who had gun charges. And the biggest surprise to me was actually Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick, who was in jail for racketeering, bribery, and extortion. Now, there were also some notable snubs. And so Trump himself and his children were not pardoned, which, you know, he was considering seriously trying to do, but was supposedly talked out of it. And I'm guessing because I guess he would incriminate himself to some degree. And so, you know, he does have some pending litigation against him that could affect that. So he probably did it for that reason.
A lot of pending litigation. Yeah, a lot.
That he can't pardon himself from. And then none of the Capitol rioters were pardoned, including QAnon supporter, QAnon shaman, whose lawyer said it would have been the honorable thing to do if he had done it. And of course, there was Joe Exotic. I don't know if you know Joe Exotic from Tiger King fame. He was expecting a pardon from Trump, even had a limousine waiting outside the prison. And that never materialized. All right, so host, any surprises to you, or did these pardons all make sense to you? I'm going to start with Robbie Rock.
I'm going to say that they made sense in so much as Trump's logic throughout his administration has made sense. But no, I mean, he's pardoning people who either stepped up for him, who ponied up Joe, who helped funnel money illegally to him in the background. He's just taking care of his lackeys and his supporters. And it's important to note that right, not all of them, because he was so happy with what was happening on the 6th, and none of these people got pardons. I think that's just the icing on the cake for them. If you want to know where you stand, okay, you showed up en masse, you did what he wanted you to do, and that's it, the snub. So yeah, it really didn't surprise me. There's no real surprises left from Trump. I'm just glad that this nonsense is going to be behind us. The next things we're going to be talking about Trump is all the charges coming up against him everywhere that he's in trouble.
All right, Johnny Storm, your thoughts. Were you anything surprised to you?
A little bit, honestly, a little bit, because I didn't think that he cared. So I feel like it's maybe a ploy to just kind of still have somebody on his side to have some type of allies. I don't think too deep into that, but I just feel like maybe that could be a reason, because I just don't see him caring too deeply to pardon Lil Wayne. But I am biased because I do feel like Lil Wayne's one of my favorite rappers, so I'm biased. I would not want him to be brought in jail.
You need to change. We had to change. So you're talking talent wise? Now I don't even see his talent actually. He has great producers. I'm sorry, but I can't. He has some awesome music that he puts out. Yes, but I think that's his producers, because I don't think he's one of the top.
Think he's definitely controversial. Like he's not like, oh, he's a great lyricist. But this is digressing. But I just feel like me personally, I just see musical talent. But I wouldn't want him to. I wouldn't want him to rot in prison over like a fancy gun. I think it was like a gun charge. So. But
I think it was only 10 years. He'd have been out pretty quick.
It's only 10 years. No, but if you've done something, you have to have, there's consequences. So at the end of the day, I feel like some of the pardons could have been irrelevant. Like they probably shouldn't have been done. But I'm torn a little bit.
All right, Lizzie. I know where you're going with it.
For the record, for Lil Wayne, this was his second gun offense, in addition to other drug offenses and other past issues that he's had with law enforcement. But it was Kodak Black, it was a whole bunch of rappers who, not just rappers, but when we're talking about the hip-hop community, we're not talking about a Common here or Chance the Rapper. Or, you know, rappers who are offering, inspiring messages to the public and who have never had any run-ins with law enforcement. You know,
or Drake, right? Drake.
Bobby's
Drake.
Drake, is in Canada. He ain't down here getting arrested. Not yet, at least. But, these are people who, had a series of offenses over and over. And I think one of the things we need to look at or think about when we talk about pardons is it was never the intent for a presidential pardon to be basically a last minute fuck you to the nation. And that's what happened yesterday.
Yep.
He went and he was just I'm out. There's nothing I can do about this. So let me just give one last middle finger like crisscross to everybody and give pardons to people where it makes absolutely no sense. So I think as we move forward, even though this is probably never going to happen in my lifetime, but as we move forward, we need to start considering ratifying the Constitution in certain areas, changing elements of the Constitution. Like, we can't get rid of
presidential pardons are ridiculous
without changing the Constitution because it's in the Constitution. However, at this point, presidents are starting to make a mockery of the process. They're pardoning their friends. Forget what they're being accused of or what they have been jailed for, whatever. If you my boy, I got you. I got you. And that's not what the intent was. And so hopefully at some point in the near future, someone will have the balls and be like, we need to change this a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because we're starting to get away from the whole idea and purpose of a presidential pardon.
It'd be good to see Biden, because Biden probably could. I don't know if he can get an amendment to the Constitution, but he certainly could do something.
I would say that for Kamala, because she is a former prosecutor. So I think she would be able, if by chance at some point she becomes president of the United States, I would look to her to get the ball rolling for that.
All right, so I got about a minute left. So my thoughts are along the lines of what Gianni Storm was saying. I looked at it through the list, and it was 143 people that he either pardoned or commuted their sentences. And I really looked through the list, and it was really, she's right about allies. I think what he was doing was looking for allies. I mean, and he wasn't going to get that from the key. He doesn't care about those QAnon people and the people that stormed the Capitol. He didn't care about all of them. Or Joe Exotic. Who is he going to do? Matter of fact, he probably looked at Joe Exotic with the limo and probably just took him off the list. But I think it really has to do, if you look at the whole list of people, it's a bunch of people who have money or have influence or has ties to money, especially overseas. I really think he was, this has to do with friends and friends of friends is really what this was about. So, but you know, it's Trump. I expect nothing less. All right, Mike Winter says, Gianni, you lost all us old people. Lizzie Enders, Sherry Blaine says, Lizzie Enders, I love you and your total honesty. And Jeanette Brown said, he pardoned people he thinks will protect or serve him in some way. Exactly. Even Lil Wayne can serve him in some way with his popularity, because you know he'll. If you have some popularity, he can use. He will.
Okay. Maybe Kodak Black more so than Lil Wayne really isn't cognizant of where he is day in and day out.
But Lil Wayne is popular with people in Gianni's age group.
He's popular, but
he's more like a legend in our age group.
A legend, I would agree. A legend in the age group, like Drake.
But he's not. When was the last time Lil Wayne said something?
But it doesn't matter. I mean, the fact is he has influence over those people.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is the influence isn't as great anymore. This isn't Lil Wayne from 2008. This is a new Lil Wayne where we also have social media that is quick to gather folks up. Look how quickly Lil Wayne, Ice Cube, all of those MFers got gathered up once they came out in support of Trump. There's a pushback now.
A little. I just don't think it's as significant as if he comes out with another album, it's going to be like R. Kelly, and boom, he's going to be good to go. So
I think people want to follow his politics, but I think the younger, like younger than me, of course, will say, will kind of give an eye now to Trump, or like have something to would want to hear what Wayne has to say about Trump. But you're right, Liz. He is getting pushed back
because
he does look like a clown in some instances.
He does look like a clown. Yeah. He definitely looks like a clown in our age group.
Any celebrity that you can bring to your brand just brings shine. It brings attention. So it really, any star power is good to bring to your brand.
And
I thought you were talking about the rapper shine. I'm like, what? Oh.
Bring shine. That's so funny. And Kevin Thaxton says,
wonder if how much longer Lil Wayne is gonna be with us. Like Lil Wayne is still a heavy drug user, so we gonna have to get him first before
right.
Start talking about anything. And I teach a lesson on lean and rap music, and Lil Wayne is heavily throughout.
I was gonna say you got some Lil Wayne. So you give him this quote from Kevin Jackson. He pointed out, and I saw this headline. Lil Wayne said, "I got a presidential pardon all because of the mess that I be starting." That's Lil Wayne for you, Gianni Storm. That's the true Lil Wayne that we're talking about.
Honestly, Gianni, do not feel bad, because you know I grew up on hip hop and I have liked controversial rappers, a few in my day.
Okay.
So you know it's a maturation process. I don't think any of them have been as controversial as Lil Wayne. But I've had my.
I was an NWA fan.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Right. Good hot topic. All right, so Lizzie, there's some more lewd acts you wanted to talk about. Is this truth, lies, or shenanigans?
It's shenanigans and truth, because these things really did happen. But it's a bunch of shenanigans. And I have personal history with this, especially with the story that I'm going to put up first. Because remember, I am, before I was a professor, veteran sports journalist. So I've come across people like this GM. So we're talking about Mets GM Jared Porta, it came out this week that back in 2016, when he was working with the Cubs baseball team, he met a reporter, an international reporter, and her name has not been released because they're trying to protect her identity. Apparently, she's from a country where women don't necessarily have the rights and the freedom to speak up and speak out for themselves as we do here. So her name has not been released. No pictures have been released. She also, there is a language barrier. English is not her first language. And that kind of explains some of her hesitation in how she dealt with this situation. But when Mr. Porter was with the Cubs back in 2016, he met this reporter at a baseball at a baseball event, took a liking to her, started talking her up. They exchanged cards because she thought, you know, I think he was assistant GM at the time, works with the Cubs. I could use him as a source. He could get me interviews. He could get me access. I've done that 1,000 times. I used to give out cards, especially my card, you know, had my name, big old Sports Illustrated logo on the front. I gave my card out all the time. They, on your card, it has your telephone number. So he started texting her. Initially, very innocuous texts. Then all of a sudden, you know, they turned into very flirtatious texts, or where he is soliciting something from her. He's telling her that she's sexy. He's telling her that she's very pretty. He wants to know, you know, does she want to go get a drink? What does she think of him? Does she have a boyfriend? Then he starts sending her pictures, including the very lewd penis pic. He sent her a couple of pics. One, he sent her a few pics where he was laying on his bed, fully clothed, but you could see his erect dick print through his pants. Then, and at this point, she's no longer responding to him. She's no longer sending him text messages back or anything. Then, even though she hasn't responded, he sent her a picture of his naked, erect penis. So my question to the panel, first and foremost, what is up with the dick pics? Is that really how we are trying?
I guess we have to start with the dudes, huh?
Ladies out here, or actually not even just ladies, because, you know, if you're in a homosexual relationship, you might want to send a dick pic to some guy you see on the street and you like, but could you say hello first? Can you establish it first before you just send the picture? So I'm going to start with Rob because he, you know, one of the fellas on the panel.
Because Rob B's probably sent some dick pics out.
Right.
So let's be clear. The story is about unsolicited. Let's be clear. It's a phenomenon that I don't understand. I've never understood it, this advent of dick pics and why guys do it. To me, it's akin to striking up a conversation with someone that you may find interesting in a public setting. I'm thinking in a bar, just walking up someone, hi, how are you? Just striking up conversation and then just innocuously pulling my member out and saying, hey, like, check it out. And just keep talking. What? It's not normal behavior. Nobody wants to see an unsolicited dick pic. I mean, the balls on these people. Wink.
Yeah. So funny.
Yeah, I don't get it. And it's for every woman who's received an unsolicited dick pic, I'm so sorry. On behalf of all the guys out there, like, that's just, nobody wants to see it.
Can I say that I, you know, first of all, I've never even considered sending any type of pictures like that. And on top of that, every woman I've ever spoken to has always told me that they find that offensive, that they don't even get it. They don't find it, like, I don't know, arousing in any way. So why would, I don't even know where the idea comes to send these dick pics, unless a woman asks for it. I mean, there are some women out there that will ask for one. Sure. I mean, there's men out there that will ask for.
If you have established that part of your relationship, sure. Of course.
But
again, these people were at work. Let's make this clear. This was a professional relationship.
And see, and a reporter has to have is forced to have a certain rapport with someone like a GM of a sports team. So you have to maintain, you don't want to be like, you know, you don't put them off completely, but at some point, obviously you kind of entertain it slightly. But then of course, when someone keeps pushing, I mean, of course, I'm sure she said, no, I'm not interested and all these other things. But she was probably trying to do a balancing act, but I'm curious what Gianni Storm has to say.
I mean, the dick pics is kind of, I didn't know that we were still doing that in 2020. But I feel like, because on one hand, this is, when I was reading the article, I was like, okay, this is not surprising. Like, I felt like I was reading something that, like, not necessarily that I've personally been through, but something that I hear often. But given that he's a GM of the Jets and it's a sports situation, that I know that it's blown into a bigger proportion. So it's, I don't know, like, it's like dick pics is unnecessary, but I think that
I mean, would you like receiving dick pics? I'm just curious.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I like sexy pictures, but I feel like I have to, like, it's mutual. Like, it's like we have to have established some type of relationship, like Liz said, like, of course. And then just a straight dick pic is like, it's not attractive. Like, why? That's not an attractive feature on a person. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe your abs or like something around you, but not, no, not your member.
Because you got a couple more minutes.
So a quick thing. Yeah. When I was doing online dating, you know, you match.com or a couple of other sites or whatever, you put up a profile and then you start texting with someone. That's how you interact initially. And then you may have your picture on your profile, or you may have your pictures as set it to private. And then when you start texting, you exchange pictures. I can't tell you the number of times, and these are guys I don't know. I barely know your first name. We've never met or anything. We certainly have not established that level of intimacy, but they would send a picture of their penis before they would send a picture of their face. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with that?
My wife told me some stories about that too.
You can look like Quasimodo, but I'm supposed to get hype over that big day. No sense. If you go back to, Neo just pulled up a clip. This isn't as uncommon as a lot of you may think. Back in 2010, when Brett Favre, Hall of Fame quarterback Brett Favre, Super Bowl winning quarterback Brett Favre, he was no longer with the Packers, so now he's with the Jets. Jen Sterger actually used to work for Sports Illustrated, but at the time she was working for the Jets, and so that's how they came into contact. Saw her at a game, started talking her up, they exchanged numbers. Next thing you know, he starts texting her. He starts leaving her voicemails. He sent her a picture of his penis. Again, this is the starting quarterback for the New York Jets, married, two kids. And yet he's harassing.
Must be this. A Jets fan.
And so, she sent the pics to her friends. That's how it got leaked. She sent pics to her friends, and then her friends leaked it to, I believe it was Deadspin. And Deadspin, you know, they are Gossip Central when it comes to sports and entertainment. So they, not only did they release the text messages, they also released a picture of the penis.
Ridiculous,
you know.
Wow.
And you know, there wasn't a lot of blowback for Brett Favre in this situation. He was embarrassed, but yeah, there wasn't a lot of, you know, repercussions for him. And then, so this particular pick, and if any of my old Sports Illustrated people are watching this, they probably heard this story before. So Jet Magazine is a black entertainment style magazine. I believe it started in the 70s, if you will. But each week, it was a weekly magazine. And each week, they would have a beauty of the week, right? So when I worked at Sports Illustrated, I think I was still a writer reporter at the time. Worked at Sports Illustrated, one of my executive editors took a liking to me. He came over to my desk. You know, we would chit-chat or whatever. He would talk about how he can help me advance my career at the magazine, some ideas on what I should be focusing on, things like that. He comes over to my desk. Neo, pull that picture up again. He came over to my desk and dropped this picture on my desk and said, I saw this, and it made me think of you. Again.
That's beautiful.
Not a guy that I had a social relationship with, an intimate relationship with, a guy that I was interested in, again, married.
But even, that's such a weird thing to say, though.
Very inappropriate. He dropped it on my desk and said, I saw this picture of you. I saw this picture and it made me think of you. I was speechless.
I mean, but I was speechless. It's twofold though.
Cause... I didn't talk about anything. I waited until he left and then I made a beeline for my girls in the sports library and I gave one of my dearest friends, my goddaughter's mother, Joy. I gave her this pic. She snatched it from me and she was like, I know you think right now that you're not going to say anything. You're not going to report him because you're worried about your career, but I'm going to keep this as proof. And it's one of those things where if you think about it, if you talk to people, not just in the sports industry, but if you talk to a lot of women out there, this is a common story. As a sports journalist, I had unsolicited text messages from athletes whose wives were standing right there and they still trying to holler at me. I had to report an athlete for his harassment. Like, it happens a lot. And what I want to say to people, because some people are like, oh, she's asking for it or whatever. 9 times out of 10, when people go to work, they are there to do the job. And when I'm at work, I am there to work, advance myself in my position and make that money. I'm not trying to see your dick. Remember Matt Lauer at NBC? He had a whole room.
Yeah.
He had a lock on the door, so the ladies, when they went to his office, they couldn't get out. But he had a whole room where he would go and he would just drop his pants.
Yeah.
In front of his coworkers. And so it's just like Rob said, I don't know where this mindset comes from, where men think we just automatically want to see their junk. See their sausage.
I mean, but twofold. I mean, even if you have a pretty good relationship with someone, right? And you drop the picture and say, this reminds me of you. I mean, that's offensive in itself. I can't even imagine doing that to my wife and being like, hey, this woman reminds me of you. Yeah. She would be offended by that. All right, but let's get to these comments.
I'm fairly young, so I really didn't know what to say, how to act. Did I ever report him? No, I did not.
Sherry Blaine Priest says, there's nothing intriguing or arousing about receiving a random pic of someone's personal parts. Jeanette Brown says, it's a scary looking piece of equipment, even when you're asking for it, in my honest opinion. Yana Zamora says, to your story, I'm speechless now. Kevin Daxton, talking about the picture, said she's a porn. Mike Winter says, were you supposed to drop panties right there? That's your line, bruh. We got to move on. We took a little extra time on that topic. So let's move on to the next topic.
Truth, lies, shenanigans.
Don't do it.
All right, Robbie, you're talking about some Canadians, some cheating Canadians. Let's hear it. Truth, lies, and shenanigans. I'm talking about...
Oh, this is straight up shenanigans on everybody's part. So Canadian snowbirds, for those of you who don't know, are essentially retirees who follow the migratory patterns of the birds. They get out of Canada when it's cold and they head down to Arizona, Florida. They head down to warmer climes. So despite the fact that there's an advisory to not travel out of the country, these individuals have found loopholes to go take care of their property, to go spend their winter in the U.S. But now that they're entrenched in the U.S. and they're there, they are trumping American residents for access to the COVID vaccine. So more specifically in Florida, where the bulk of our snowbirds go to, there's not enough of the vaccine to go around for the local residents. So my question to the panel, let me just pull it up real quick here. So should foreign visitors have the ability to visit a foreign nation and receive a COVID vaccine ahead of the local constituency?
I can start off. Hell no. I mean, I want a vaccine. I'm waiting for a vaccine. Because I'm gonna be honest, you know, I want to get out and do some stuff. I want to hug my family. I want to go out and I want to go play some volleyball. I want to do some of the things that I haven't been able to do. I'm waiting in line now. I mean, now that people aren't dropping like flies at the first set of round of doses, I'm ready. I'm ready to go ahead and hit that vaccine. So I'm not feeling your people coming down here, Robbie. You tell your Canadians to stay where they are.
Oh yeah.
Gianni Storm, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I think the policies in Florida or like the every state has their own rules and laws regarding like the rollout for vaccines. I think it was like certain age restrictions. So if that's part of the policy, then technically there it's kind of fair just to play devil's advocate. But I don't think like morally it's right because it's like if you have a little bit more privilege because you are able to own a house in Florida and Canada because you just have that kind of money and you can do that. But that's cool. That's amazing. But
yeah, she's right. I mean, if you're playing within the rules, then what? Yeah.
Yeah, they are playing within the rules. But I did see also in the article that you sent, Rob, one of the women who was of age, she was about 67. And she didn't receive the vaccine. Like, she's still waiting to receive an appointment. So that kind of made me feel like maybe there was a little privilege or priority, or I'm not sure. So, yeah, I think that is unfair. I think morally it's unfair, but their rules.
Okay, to that question. So if we're talking, because, you know, there is a set of population that, you know, does get it first. So, you know, the older population is supposed to get it first. So I guess if you do have, you know, older snowbirds, I don't know, is it really morally wrong? And I'm starting to rethink my thoughts now. Because, I mean, you're giving it to an older population who may not get it in Canada. Is that really a bad thing, Lizzie Enders?
Yeah, it's a bad thing. One, they were advised not to come here in the first place. They're not even supposed to be here. Second, we still can't go to Canada. We can't leave and go across the border.
Yeah,
Thanks to Trump.
So, but yeah.
So why should they be allowed to come down here and harvest all of our, you know, medical resources? No, no, no. And something similar is happening here in D.C., Rob, where the first rounds, you know, went to healthcare workers and then elderly 65 and older. But it's based on your neighborhood, your wards. However, they're not being very strict about who from what particular ward. There are 8 wards in DC. They're not being very strict about who from which ward is allowed to get the vaccine. So you have people who are coming from very affluent neighborhoods where the numbers aren't that high, going into a neighborhood where they have more doses, if you will, and getting vaccinated that way. Leaving the people in those neighborhoods where the numbers are really high, leaving them assed out on the sideline. So it's people cheating and not playing by the rules. I understand because, you know, there are health concerns, maybe life and death issues concerns. But as someone who is, if I lived in Florida, which I would never do, but if I lived in Florida and I was, you know, seeking to get a dose, seeking to get the vaccine. I can't say this enough. I am immune compromised. I am a type 1 diabetic. One of the main reasons why I really haven't had a lot of exposure, I haven't caught this virus yet, is because I don't go anywhere. I'm very limited in my movements. But I would be pissed if DC or wherever I chose to live in Florida, if they ran out of the vaccine, because people who aren't here,
I suppose to be,
and eligible for it, mm-hmm. are getting it and taking away my opportunity to mm-hmm. get it. Like, yeah. That makes no sense at all to me. Yeah.
Robbie Rock, your final thought? You got 37 seconds.
Yeah, so the loophole they're exploiting is property ownership and a requirement to go maintain it. Well, you can hire someone to manage a property for you, and if you've got the money, do it. At this point in the game, any international travel should require proof of vaccination. There are vaccines that are available. It's a slow rollout to get started. But if you're leaving your borders, you need that documentation. So shame on these Canadian retirees for traveling to their COVID hotspots, and double shame on them for scooping vaccines when local residents can't secure it for themselves. I'm disgusted with what these people are doing. It's entitlement, pure and simple. And shame on the previous White House administration for not implementing policies and measures mm-hmm. that protect you that from this. So this is twofold. To me, it's shame on these Canadian travelers because you've been asked to stay home and you don't like winters, so you're traveling to a COVID hotspot, but absolutely shame on the Trump administration and how they handled it, because those doses should have been secured for your people first.
All right, I didn't mean to laugh in the middle of your comment.
Blame Canada. Blame Canada.
I laughed at Kevin Thaxton's comment, build a wall. Build a wall between Canada.
No, we've had enough of wall.
Sherry Blaine said, Robbie Rock, I'm appalled that Canadians are even traveling based on our current climate. We have been advised no non-essential travel. Everyone must stay home here in Canada, right? I do feel there is some privilege here. Jacqueline Robinson says, it's selfishness on a whole other level. So, all right, and everybody says, our stuff ain't free like Canada.
I like Len's comment. Rob B for Premier Ontario. Hugs, bud.
Lynn. All right, that's it for Hot Topics, guys. That's it for Hot Topics. Lies, shenanigans. Good Hot Topics. Good Hot Topics. Let's get into our game show, and hopefully it works today. All right, we're going to try the same game we tried last time. If it works out, this is quick and dirty, real simple. The app will show you a phrase or part of a phrase, and you need to complete it with whatever random letter the app provides. Okay, so fastest and most creative answers, judged by yours truly, gets a point. The person with the most points wins. Your camera's out of focus or something, Lizzie. I don't know what happened.
I didn't do that. I have not moved.
All right.
You run all the technical stuff.
All right, so let's get to it. So, for example, a bad place to puke. This is just an example. Bad place to puke, starting with the letter S.
Stop.
Sandals.
Socks and sandals. All right, those are
synagogue.
Okay. All right. So, I guess our audience gets an idea of how it's going to work. All right, so let's get to it. All right, you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go.
Due to my...
All right. Bad thing to put in your ass, starting with the letter P.
Penis.
She was waiting for that. I don't know why it keeps coming up with P for you.
No sodomy over here. No sodomy.
Any other answers? Because I don't think any other answers are going to win.
I'm not even going to compete with that.
Point goes to Lizzie, mostly because she beat you to it. All right. All right. Good surface to snort coke.
What?
Starting with the letter A.
Ass.
I was thinking that.
Lizzie beat you to it. She gets another point.
Liz, right. You're too quick.
I do those things, by the way.
Something you'd gamble on, starting with the letter T.
Turtles.
Okay. Trump getting convicted.
Okay.
Long one.
Tetas.
Okay. We're going to go with Robbie Rock. So that's a point for Robbie Rock. All right. Things that arouse women. Uh-oh. No peas. No peas.
We did this already.
V, starting with the letter V.
Vagina? Depends on the woman.
There are some women that get aroused by vagina. Any other answers? All right, Robbie gets the point. I know you're taking too long. We got to move on to the next one. All right. All right, bad thing to say during sex. By the way, it's 2-2. Lizzie Enders, Robbie Rock. All right, bad thing to say during sex, starting with the letter E.
Exit.
Gianni, Robbie Rock.
I got to give it to Liz. That was
good. All right. Well, then Lizzie wins the game. All right. Good job, Lizzie. Yeah, Yeah, Kevin Daxon said end. He also came up with Vikings for V instead of vagina. And Jacqueline Robbins said versus for V. So, all right. Let's get in some shout outs. Let's get in some closing shout outs. All right. Let's start with Lizzie Enders this time. Let's start with Lizzie Enders since she's out of focus.
So shout out to Howard University's Drumline. They performed today. Not only did they perform as Kamala Harris entered the venue, but they also performed down the street during the inauguration parade. Props, props, props. I was looking to see, are any of my students out there? Any of my students out there?
Maybe.
So props to Howard University.
A lot of people online today. All right, Robbie Rock.
Shout out to our audience members, our growing audience members on all platforms. Thank you so much for tuning in twice a week, once a week, whenever you tune in, check us out. It's great to have you and love the comments and commentary. It helps fuel the conversation. Thank you.
All right. And Gianni Storm.
Yeah, I agree. Shout out to, especially people on TikTok since I'm moderating TikTok. So shout out to
Gianni
whoever
with awesome
is
TikToks. Y'all got to check out TikTok. Gianni has some fun with her TikToks, boy.
Yes, I have a lot of fun with TikTok. It's very creative. It allows me to improv. So shout out to you guys and continue to comment so that we can make your voice heard.
Awesome. And my shout out goes to Vice President Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, first female VP, first Black VP, and first VP of Asian descent. That's my shout out for today. All right. So that's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank you guys for joining us. We hope that you maybe learned something, gained a new perspective, or even got some things off your chest. Please don't forget, we need your support to keep it going. Like, follow, subscribe at TLS Live Show across all platforms. And if you missed any of today's episode, check out our clips online on YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe to the audio replay of the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google, Alexa. Just search Truth, Lies, Shenanigans. But definitely check out our YouTube channel. We need some subscribers to the YouTube channel so you can see Robbie's clips. Had a fun time tonight. Hope you did too. Our next live show is on Sunday, January 24th, 4 p.m. Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. We have a special guest spotlight on musical comedian Nikki Yee. She's a lot of fun. You got to check her out. She's going to perform for us, so don't miss it. That's going to be Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern. And our winner for tonight is Lizzie Enders. Lizzie Enders, close us out.
So I just wanted to give a quick note to my fellow Americans. Happy that we had a glorious day today. We got the evil out of our city, the nation's capital. And so now we are trying to heal, trying to get back to a place where we can tolerate one another. But it's not going to be easy. So I implore all of you to have some patience. You know, the nation's capital wasn't built in a night. And so it's going to take us a little while to get back to a comfortable place where we can at least stand next to one another and not want to kill each other. So have some patience and be supportive as best you can of this administration.
Yeah. Awesome thoughts.
Awesome thoughts.
So thank you so much, Lizzie. Thank you, Robbie Rock. Thank you, Gianni Storm. Great show tonight. And thank you guys online. And we will see you next time.